quite a bit taller than you, aren't I? Hey everyone, today we're talking about tools of the trade for young and existing older experienced
designers.
Hey Abby.
Hey,
how's
good.
It going?
Good, good, how are you doing?
Welcome to another episode of The Hum.
The Hum.
So today we're going to be kind of working off one of our previous videos we did, which was giving tips to new designers in the field looking for a job, how to apply, how to create just kind of a body of work when you don't have any. So going off that, you found a website that's kind of cool to help those that don't have previous jobs to kind of build work for.
Yeah, so one of the cool new websites I did find is called fakeclients.com, and it is designed by 18-year-old web designer August Van Den Ven. Thank you.
Good on you.
So what it is pretty much just, it's got a giant start button on there, and it gives you situations of where clients could be like, hey, you know, I want to look for, you know, so-and-so for so one of the situations that they have here, for example, it says, hey there, I am Saul. I recently started a new business called New York Catering. We are looking for someone who can create a simple logo for our catering business. I think a letter mark will fit best. What would you be interested? So Fake Clients mainly gives you situations of creating logos. Mm-hmm. Which is kind of nice, especially if that's kind of, you know, something that you want to...
Your thing, yeah.
Yeah, if you want to build strongly on creating logos, that's Fake Clients is a good website to give you cool situations to work with and really amp up your portfolio.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
very cool. It's a cool tip. Check it out, guys.
Yes.
So the other thing we want to kind of jump into here was just some of the tools that we use for wireframing, logo design, web stuff, whatever it might be. Just because it's fun to take a peek at what other people are using or doing. And a tip for some of those that are starting out that might not know what they need or what do people typically use, what we do. And every designer's got their own preference of their workflow.
Yes.
And their tool set, so it's by no means probably the most high-tech or latest stuff or whatever it might be, but it's just stuff that we've used and has worked for us. So maybe we'll start first with maybe the format of what we work within. So it's either digital or paper, obviously, where you're starting to kind of sketch your ideas out. And every designer, yeah, has their own preferences. Some are all digital, some are all paper, and some are a mix. So for me personally, a lot of my stuff is still paper for initial sketching of wireframes, just getting a rough idea.
It's a lot easier than me.
Yeah.
Too.
And for us internally, we have some set of our own books that have a dot layout for the pages. But whether it's grid, dot, lines, blank, you two as well have another book that's also dot.
Yeah, I find dots a little bit easier, especially if we are, you know, sketching like logos, for example, very quickly, kind of just getting a rough idea. It's nice to be able to use rules and stuff, but I like using the dot because it kind of gives you that guideline. Like,
you can help build symmetry off it.
Right, exactly.
And, yeah, absolutely.
It's a lot easier to eyeball it.
Absolutely. Yeah, so paper sites for that. We all here have Microsoft Services, which we love. And then, you know, like most tablets now, they've got the pen support, which is awesome. They've always had it since the beginning, but those are super cool. You don't really use the Surface Pen much. You just more comfortable with paper, scanning, and then doing it. And again, every designer's got their own workflow.
Old school.
Bamboo and Wacom or other big tablets that are huge that people use all the time. Apple's starting to finally get part of their game together with their pencil and stuff, which is incredibly late to the game.
Right.
But they're getting there too, so that's a good tool set.
With Sketch too, I think that was.
Yeah. So that's kind of the paper and the medium we use. We do have a whiteboard wall here. Before our office, we had a glass whiteboard, so those are kind of cool to really quickly sketch out ideas. And if we're talking ideas back and forth, it's kind of a playful area, and it's obviously very easy to erase certain things of that. So whiteboards are fun and good group use tools. On top of that, then the actual for paper, for sketching stuff, you have a few pens and such that you enjoy using.
Yes, it is.
What are they and why?
A Sakura Pigment Microns, and they usually come in a set of 5, which I think is awesome. It gives you different thicknesses of the strokes, which is good if you're planning to do very detailed, like fine lines. They do have a pen that helps you with that, and then obviously if you want to do like something bold or something thicker, they do have also the, you can't really see it, but number 8. So it gives you thicker lines, which is nice, especially if you are designing pretty much just anything. Logos, I like to use that for, especially when I scan them in.
Yeah.
It's nice to be able to actually get a thick like line that's crispy, because sometimes when you scan some things in,
it
doesn't, it's kind of a little blurry, so I do love those. Another thing I do like, and we're gonna go with the erasers, is the, excuse mine, it's very overused, the Faber-Castell, the kneaded eraser. I love this guy because, especially when you're designing fine lines, or just, you know, writing, it really picks up a lot of the graphite that you do leave on your paper, and it doesn't leave any, what's that word, debris. Because it pretty much just molds back into itself. I think
it absorbs the graphite almost as opposed to
the regular one.
Right.
But that one is pretty cool too.
We always talk about the name. Say it for me.
I think it's Staedtler.
Staedtler. Yeah.
I apologize if I butcher that.
Yeah, the Mars Plastic ones. These are, you can find these at any art store. They're super popular. I've always used these, and I really do love these. But yeah, that's one of your favorites.
The only problem with this one though is you have to make sure that you don't leave it somewhere where there's a lot of lint or hair, because it does pick that up, unfortunately. So if you have pets at home, make sure you keep this covered, because you're going to get cat hair, dog hair, and all sorts of fun stuff on it.
Very true. Yeah, in terms of pencils and such, I mean, I don't think we use anything crazy. We just have office pencils here that we use, that I use. On your end, obviously we use, for coloring, our Prismacolor set, which we use again for kind of sketching and rough ideas, filling out logos and whatever it might be.
Right.
Those are pretty affordable and good pencils.
And they have a lot of what do you call that? They're very pigmented, the Prismacolor. So when you draw, like when you do use it, you don't have to kind of like push with
really,
wire.
Yeah.
And it gives you a lot of vibrant colors, and they're easy to blend. So I love Prismacolor.
Cool. Other tools between the compass protractor and compass. Do you have a preference on this guy, because you can actually, some of them you can't take the pencils out, or they're part of it just lead filling.
Right.
With this, you can just pull them out, sharpen them really quickly.
It's nice that you can make crispy lines. Crispy. That was awesome. Like you mentioned, it's harder to really design something if you're not, you know, happy with it, and if you do see the line is a little bit blurry, you kind of want to erase it. So it's nice to be able to pull out the pencil, resharpen it, and just put a new one. And it's not expensive, so you know.
Yeah, those are very affordable. I mean, we don't have too much else. I mean, obviously, most designers will have your working prints, would be the very expensive and sadly always needed Pantones. they are really cool, even for web and stuff. Just they have the references and such for hex colors and all that good stuff,
definitely.
For hex numbers.
And it helps with converting if you want to do spot, if you have to print with process and spot, or if you just print CMYK, it has all the codes in here. It's really helpful because, you know, it's kind of hard to eyeball it sometimes.
Right. And they recommend you change these things out, like, what's it, every year or something? Something insane. ours stays in a zipper case.
In the dark.
Cap in the dark. So they don't really get too wetted out, I guess, by the sun or whatever it might be. So we've had these for a few years. I don't know. I feel it's more of a business thing than, I mean, maybe they're always staying out like on display or something. I could probably see that them getting bleached a little bit and changing and that stuff. But we've kind of managed just fine with those.
Taking care of them because they're very expensive.
They are. They're a little overpriced. Sorry.
We love you, Pantone.
I think those are pretty much our tools that we use day to day for our sketches and for ideas.
And Adobe.
Yeah, we'll put links to all this stuff in the description below so you guys can take a look at them, and if you want to try them out, let us know how you like them. And please share in the comments what you guys use. It'd be really cool to see what people are using and what we should be using, because we don't always have the answers for that stuff. It might be something cool we're missing out on.
We're old.
20s, 30s. All right, thanks a lot guys for watching this episode. We'll see you next time.